Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode.
So long story short, this week I'm in the 911 Sport Classic.
Good for you.
It is good for me. I am foaming at the mouth to discuss the car.
Go on then.
But no.
Oh.
I am actually going to allow the main channel YouTube video to live on its own. It's going to be coming out post this podcast, and we'll talk about that car after our summer break.
So no exclusives. You're not going to say anything. Nothing.
Oh, go on. You can ask me one question about that car, and I'll answer it.
You'll answer it with a one-word answer?
I'll answer it as, well, you ask the question and I'll decide how to answer it. But you get one question, otherwise we're saving our chat. Just, by the way, people, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. Tony has essentially been vile about the 911 Sport Classic ever since it launched. I have loved the idea of it. I'm finally behind the wheel of it. And so it needs to be a big discussion, but I'm really pleased with the video I've created so far. And I don't want to undermine that by just revealing all of my cards today. So yeah, you get one question, which I will answer, and then we're going to move on.
Okay. Sport Classic or GT3? Just one word answers for me.
No, I was going to say, depends on the usage.
Oh, here we go.
That's a really obvious thing to say, but I will elaborate. You could very easily argue that the Sport Classic and a 992 GT3 Touring are direct rivals, because theoretically you've got manual gearbox, rear wheel drive. One is the slightly more grand tourer focused 911 turbo based car, the other the track focused GT product. So, you know, depending on how you're going to want to use those cars, you could be weighing those up, right? You see what I mean? Like, you could be weighing them up.
Sort of. I mean, I understand the what you're saying, the demographic of the two cars, as in the layout and the gearbox and the drivetrains are all very similar, but I think they're still completely different cars.
Okay, so there we go. What I have realized now driving the Sport Classic is they are very different cars. On paper, you could say, oh, you know, and I think actually Harry Metcalf did a video, I think his video was Sport Classic or GT3 Touring or something along those lines. But I'm now like, oh no, they're very different things. That's all I'm going to say for now.
Okay.
We will get into it more post our summer break, because yes, regular viewers will know every summer we take a bit of time off in August.
So we're taking a holiday.
Well, yeah, we're taking a couple of weeks off actually, bit of a break. I got a few days in Lisbon with the family, which will be super nice.
Really?
Yeah, taking my parents away.
That will be nice, yeah.
Making my sister pay for
are you?
but yeah, taking my parents away. So that'll be super nice. So going for a few days. But yeah, we always take a couple of weeks off just to kind of let ourselves recharge and refresh. And then we're going to be coming at you thick and fast from mid-August onwards, where we've got our 5 live podcast events. All those tickets are nearly sold out. I mean, absolutely outrageous.
Yeah.
Final few tickets available, seenthroughglass.online. Go to the events section. There's literally like a handful. So by the time this episode's out, they might have all sold out.
A handful for each event or just a
handful? I think the first two events are gone, okay, sold out. Yeah. I think maybe the 1st of October, there's a few tickets remaining. Maybe the December one. I think anyway, go check them out.
There's not a lot left.
Not a lot left. But yeah, so we got those coming up. We have the Australian tour. First 2 weeks of November, Behind the Glass Live, Down Under. A bit similar to our US adventure last year. Going to be going in, main channel content, behind the glass content. It's going to be huge.
This will be bigger than Better Than America, though.
It's going to be huge.
This is huge.
We have some of the plans in place. Whoa, oh my God. So we got that. Tony and I got a road trip at the end of September.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
A big old road trip.
Oh, we'll be looking forward to that one.
We got a few more press drives. So off the back of our successful... Anyway, get excited.
We're changing it up.
Well, not really, but second half of the year, it's going to be same as usual, but just more of it. So that'll be very exciting. Anyway, what have you been up to, mate? What's been going on? I've been driving around a Sport Classic. What have you been doing?
What have I been doing? Good question. I've been doing a little bit of business.
Right, that's good.
Like, not nothing too, you know, nothing too flash, but I've been doing a bit of business. I sold the M2.
Already?
Yeah.
Wow, this is the new shape M2, which you ordered at the same time as the M3 Touring.
Yeah, the problem is with M2 cars, they both turned up at the same time, and I really had to pick between one or t'other.
To have as a sort of demonstrator?
To have as my car until I sell it. So, and I picked the M3, obviously. So the M2 sold very quickly.
Wow. Is that because you think they're slow to come to the market? As in, because it's not a limited car, you know?
No.
I mean? Like, so has somebody just gone, oh yeah, I fancy one of those? Or has somebody, you know, why has that gone so quickly?
Well, just early cars often do, you know, because, you know, people don't want to wait. Some people have the car on order and it's a year away and they go, well, I'll have this now and I'll wait for the other one to come. That happens quite a lot, by the way. As in general, I sold a G-Wagon last year when there was still a wait for them. Exactly the same thing. The bloke just didn't want to wait another year for it and bought our used one. And then, incidentally, he phoned me last month and said, my one's coming now. But that was like 9 months before.
Do you think... the guy, if that's what the guy's doing with the M2, would he be safe in an M2 for 12 months? If you bought the car, very early car, and did, let's be realistic, what, 3,000 to 5,000 miles? What's a realistic M2 mileage for 1 year?
Well, I start any other car. Some people do 3,000 miles, some people do 5,000, some people do 8,000.
What do you tend to get? Because, you know, if we were talking about a Ferrari 296 or even a GT3, you'd be saying it's going to be definitely under 5,000 miles for that first year.
Unless we own them.
Unless we own. But I assume M2s are more readily used. You must see them coming in a year or 18 months old with, what, 12,000 miles?
Yeah, so some obviously we sell a lot of M2 comps, so the older shaped car, and quite often they're 2019, 2020 cars, and they have anything from 15,000 to 25,000 miles, roughly. So it really does, some people use them as weekend cars. Some people use them all the while. To be honest, most of the M2 lads, they do use them as just weekend cars. They've got another car or a van or something like that, you know, because they are quite thirsty.
Yeah, well, they have been. Who knows about the new one, but...
Well, it will. I mean, it will be. It's still a 3 litre do early 20s to the gallon, so it's still fairly thirsty. So, depreciation wise, will it lose money? Yes, of course, because everything's losing money again now, as it was. I still can't believe the amount of conversations I still have with customers that still think that the market's still completely fine and their cars are still worth more.
It's booming.
Yeah, like, you know, like regularly I get people ringing me up with Porsches, new Porsches, Macans, 911s. Got the slots. Their car's now coming that they've waited 18 months for. Won overs for them. I mean, no chance.
It's not a thing anymore.
Not a thing. No. I mean, I'm sure a lot of Porsche dealers agree with me that there's so many 911 cancelled orders around at the moment. You know, where...
Generic 911s.
Just 911 S's and stuff where people order them and then the world's changed and they're just not buying them anymore.
Looking for them. Does that mean that there are some... steals out there to be done? Like, could you go and then lowball?
I don't know, because Porsche historically apart from a Panamera and probably a Cayenne maybe, don't really do deals on cars in general, you know, because there's normally plenty of people for them. So if there's a council order, there's 10 people waiting for the car, and in one of them 10 people will have it. And as we know, quite often, sometimes they make people buy them so they get GT car or get a number.
We have this lovely Carrera S sitting here.
Yeah,
if you get it, you'll definitely get a 992.2 GT3.
Yeah, or you'll get cheeky a GT3 buggers. One day.
Yeah,
yeah. So buggers. Yeah, they have that car that they can play, obviously. But yeah, I don't know, mate. Like, the market's just changing all the time, and people's perception of cars fetching decent money now, it's like long gone.
Fair enough. Well, let's see what the future holds. It seems to be an ever evolving situation, at least here in the UK, but I think across the world. Yeah, the markets in general, I'm not well read enough in the world of, you know, financials. But yeah, I think there's a lot of uncertainty still ahead in terms of values, because then you also see the other end of the market, the multi-million pound stuff selling super strong. So, or I think
that £500,000 market up, I think that's still okay, because people have different buying habits for that stuff.
What did you see? That I think it was the Singer DLS, I think,
right,
was DK that I think sold for $1 million over.
Okay.
I mean,
it's another world. Yeah, yeah.
That's a quick profit, isn't it?
Yeah.
My God.
At that point, you're not worrying about paying another percent on the interest rate, because you're buying it.
Yeah,
you're writing a check for it. So,
You texted me last night that you were watching an interesting TV show.
Oh yeah, there was a. I'm sure some of you saw it. There was a program on BBC One last night about electric vehicles and the way that we need to adapt as humans and stuff.
Like a panorama, or like a documentary?
Like what? Yeah, like a proper documentary. Okay. And it was an hour-long episode. Interested in the lines they went down. I mean, all stuff, I'm not going to go over it too much, all stuff that we've been speaking about for the last 2.5 years, basically.
But was it positive or negative? Was it like, this is what's so great about electric vehicles, or this is the potential downside? Like, what was the narrative?
To be fair to them, it started off very positive, and then they started telling the truth.
Okay, interesting.
So, like, things like there's not enough lithium. There's not enough lithium in the world to keep up with demand. Full
lithium?
Stop. Lithium, yeah.
No, but they do cobalt, nickel. There's like a whole load
of
raw materials that...
graphite or something as well. Okay.
Because the lithium ion...
Correct.
Fine, because... The next generation they're all talking about, isn't it, is the new battery tech that's coming, that there's different ways of going about it, but current EV infrastructure, they're struggling a bit.
Yeah, like there was a scientist there and just says, as we speak today, if the whole world adapts the same policy as us, there just won't be enough in the world. As in, they won't be able to manufacture it quick enough for demand, basically. And then... as well, like they said, like the price of it's gone up through the roof. Mm-hmm. So that's another reason why electric cars are more expensive. They're also, you know, we've said this before, they're obviously more expensive because they're not making as many of them, and manufacturing costs are higher compared to a combustion car. And batteries in general are dearer to buy than an engine. It is literally just as simple as that. So they spoke about that. They spoke about synthetic fuels a bit as well.
Interesting. What were they saying?
Yeah, they spoke about that and said that's still expensive, which we know, and it obviously has its concerns as well, because there's still a draw on the planet making that stuff.
Well, it depends on how you make it.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the big quick one that people like to wave the flag for is carbon capture. People go, oh, well, that's still bad. And there's, but... you know, P1, for example, the company that I put the fuel into the 360, their approach is very holistic.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, yeah, it's carbon neutral. We must remind people it's not carbon zero.
Correct.
But, you know, they capture their carbon through, you know, waste, you know, so biomass waste, things like that. So there's lots of different ways you can go about it. Porsche's route or the Siemens, or sorry, the in the Chile plant, that was a little bit, maybe more grey in terms of
catching it
their
through
process.
Through the air?
They were coming from a beer factory, actually. But just their process in general, yeah, required a little bit more magic,
okay,
which, you know, was like, oh, what's actually going on in there?
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem with synthetic fuels is scalability, because it's very energy intensive.
Yeah.
You know, one wind turbine can create X, you know, millions or thousands of liters, but could also actually charge an, more electric vehicles than it can create liters of synthetic fuels.
Yep.
So, you know, if you're going down the wind wind turbine route for electrolysis, you know, you've got to build bazillions of wind farms, and then you're still producing less fuel than if you were actually charging electric vehicles.
But
the fundamental point is, if you have a wind farm in somewhere like Chile or Chile, where there's a lot of wind, so it's very productive, you can't actually transport that electricity back to the UK to charge electric cars. So, you know, lots of ups and downs, but, you know, sorry to bang on about P1 for a second, but I caught up with the guys at Goodwood because they were fueling all of Sebastian Vettel's cars.
Yeah,
there.
He
was
I saw
doing his
that.
Race
yeah.
without trace. That was all P1 fuels. They were putting them in all vintage Bentleys. You know, they're making moves. They continue to make moves. And I think the biggest misinformation about synthetic fuels at the moment is the fact that you might need to change something in the vehicle. Like, I've seen on mass media, people saying, you know, oh, well, with a small change to the engine, you could all be running on carbon neutral fuels.
They didn't say that yesterday, and that's the first time I've heard that as well.
Oh, fine. Okay, so I've seen a few different reports and also some discussions when they were talking about extending the 2030 or 2035 ban on combustion engines and then allowing synthetic fuels, that they might have some kind of regulator or checker or something like that to make sure that it's synthetic. But yeah, at least speaking P1's fuels, which is 100% carbon neutral, that can go in any engine right now.
Yeah.
Nothing needs to be changed. Yeah. Oh, and that's it. I was listening to Jensen Button on Smoking Tires podcast at Goodwood, and he was saying, oh, like, does it corrode the rubbers or the engines, you know, if you leave that in? But not at all. I mean, I say, like, loads of vintage car companies have been using P1. I mean, Mille Miglia, they all refuel with P1. There's absolutely no proof or thought or reason as to why anything would be damaged. It's, you know, completely regulated and ready to go. So, it's the scalability. That's the problem with synth fuels. It needs a lot of focus and attention and money to get some clever people to work out how to make it more energy or less energy intensive.
Yeah.
But also scale it up so that the price comes down.
Yeah.
And it all happens more rapidly.
But that's what the country is, obviously. By 2050, it's not trying to be zero. It's trying to be neutral. But that's the goal. By 2050, we have to be neutral.
And don't forget, cars is not a tiny part of that, but a percentile of that. You know,
exactly.
There's loads of other factors.
They spoke about hydrogen. Obviously, there was a lady there demonstrating. She was the CEO of one of the big hydrogen companies, and she said we are definitely gonna concentrate more on the heavy vehicles because of one of the cost, and two, it's more efficient for that to go into heavy vehicles than it is normal, you know, public combustion cars. So they'll, you know, planes, trains, boats,
machinery, and things
machinery,
like that,
lorries, buses, that sort of thing. They'll concentrate more on that. We have said that before.
Yeah.
Spoke at length about the infrastructure and people's confidence about people not buying an electric car, which again we spoke about before.
I have a story on that, by the way. Remind me.
They said that the infrastructure is still so far behind, and there's a couple of big companies that are putting these pods in the ground, but, you know, they've all got to have different licenses and it takes a year to get the license and they're so far behind. They then concentrated a bit on that big new charging station at Braintree, which is actually probably the best one in the country at the moment. You know, charge 30 odd cars, but mate, the infrastructure for that, by the way, and the generators and the batteries and stuff that they need to power that, and we're still very. I know electric cars have been around 10 or 15 years, but we're still miles away. In terms of, you know, there's 30 million combustion cars in this country, and by 2030, they're not going to sell them anymore. I mean, it's not going to happen, firstly, because the infrastructure is so far behind. And the bloke who runs that Braintree one, that runs the company that owns, he said the energy that the grid requires just to power this. He said, we need like another 10,000 of them across the country to keep up with demand at some, you know, once we get to 15, 20 million electric cars.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing which frustrates me at the moment, right, is there is this real, whichever side you're leaning on, if you're pro EV, you're pro synthetic fuels, you're pro hydrogen, you're pro just sticking with where we're at, people are so absolutely vitriolic in their argument. You know, this is why synth fuels is BS and can never work and it's complete trash and ignore it. You're trying to cling on to the past. Here's why EVs will never be a thing. It's a disaster. It's bad for the environment. And there's so much information out there and so much aggressiveness that people are all just bashing each other down. Like, this is crap. This is crap. This is crap. This is crap. We have to, I think, kind of work together to accept all different kinds of innovations. You know, we are in first world country, you know, a well-developed, you know, high net worth.
Yeah.
So it is, yeah. It makes sense for EV infrastructure to be put into place and in a city to maybe be electric only, or to ramp up hydrogen combustion or hydrogen fuel cells for heavy machinery, for synth fuels to be used in enthusiast places like Goodwood Festival of Speed or racing, because we have that flexibility and that ability.
Mm.
The ban obviously is on new car sales. At the moment, it's not a ban on combustion engine vehicles. We assume tax is going to go through the roof. We assume there'll be various ways that the government will try and force us out of old combustion. Look at ULEZ, even though that's caused a huge uproar here in the UK. You know, London trying to charge people huge amounts of money to drive in and out of the city each day with, well, cars that don't quite make sense. There are emissions that don't quite make sense. Anyway, another story. But think about somewhere like Peru, or somewhere like Chile, where I went, or Indonesia, or even parts of North America, where they are so far behind electric infrastructure. That's where, you know, we need to be supporting synthetic fuels or hydrogen or all these different routes to market. You know, I think we just, the constant bashing is getting me down a little bit.
The problem is as well, which they really emphasised yesterday, was that the government, our government, is really all for it, but they're not backing it financially. They're not backing it like America, China, by the way, are the leading. They're really leading the way. With electric cars, in terms of, you know, these plants that they're building, they've
well, they're also controlling the supply of many of those raw materials that we just spoke about.
Correct.
So as ever, China are 15 years ahead in their thinking of trying to dominate this space.
Yeah.
With not just production of electric vehicles.
Yeah, and obviously they've thrown like hundreds of billions of quid at it. The Americans have set aside 20 or 30 billion for companies. These are grants, by the way, that have been made by the government for these, you know, big companies to start making these plants and these bases. A bit like British Volt that was happening, and now it's not happening because the government only allowed, was it 100 million or something? And it was 3 billion to construct, and, you know, the government weren't particularly happy with the investors, so they all pulled their money out, and then the government said, well, we're not going to help. But they've not come to the party. That's what I'm saying. Our government are putting pressure on us to buy electric cars. We don't have the infrastructure, and they're not wholeheartedly backing it like some of these other big, France as well, by the way, flipping hell. They're really having a go, France, you know,
in terms of they're trying to implement infrastructure,
making that big battery factories to manufacture the batteries. These big plants.
Manufacture the batteries for electric vehicles.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. They were saying about the hubs, and we've got one, and most of these other countries have got over 10 already.
But hold on a sec. That's industry, right? So that's companies making batteries for electric vehicles.
To save the car industry. So, because obviously we still make cars in this country, mm-hmm. right? So it's a £15 billion industry mm-hmm. a year. Mm-hmm. That's what it's worth to the country, the motor trade, essentially. And in 2030, as we're going at the moment, it won't be an industry, because there's no info. They're not helping businesses and companies. They'll all pull out. They're all going to go to France and you know, Germany. Germany's another big one, by the way. America.
Is that, and you might not know the answer, but is that anything to do with Brexit and the cost of importing various materials and things needed to make the batteries is infinitely higher, so that it's cheaper for people to do it in France, Germany, or China, obviously?
Well,
that's a question I have.
Yeah, the big question, I mean, I can only talk generally about this. We as a nation are importers. We import everything, which is why our cost of living went through the roof. There's lots of reasons why, but that was a big reason why, because we import everything. So, but the whole idea partly was to Brexit is to stand alone and be Great Britain again and make everything ourselves. We're miles off in general. I'm not just talking about cars. I'm talking about food, everything. We are miles behind. It's all to do with funding.
Yeah.
It's no funding.
Okay, no funding. Well, I mean, we're wading quite heavily into politics, which we try not to do each week. I think, you know, my whole thing is at the moment, there's so much information out there, so much conflicting information, so much misinformation, so much interesting information, things are evolving and changing every day. And there'll be 1,000 comments under this podcast correcting us on things that we've said or having opinions on things that we've said. And also, I think it's great that we as car enthusiasts have so much to be interested or excited or concerned about. You know, it's a crazy time to be into cars because so much is changing and none of us know what the next 5 to 10 years is going to look like in the automotive world. But all I'd say to this audience or our audience who are, I say, real enthusiasts, driving enthusiasts, like, I think we need to be open-minded is my whole thing. I did that Lotus Electra review. The amount of negativity sort of before even anyone had, no one was open to the idea that it might actually be a good product. The generic consensus from the comments was before I'd even watched the video, before anyone watched the video, load of crap, Chinese load of crap. So, like, I get that people are passionate about Lotus. I get that that's a brand that represents something and that the Electra is completely different to that. And I made that point super clear in the video. It's not a Lotus. There's nothing about it that is a Lotus.
Because it works.
That's one of the reasons. You know, like, there's nothing about it that is a Lotus. But it wears a Lotus badge.
Yeah.
And if so, therefore, it is a Lotus. There's a product from the Lotus brand that is fantastic, surely that should be celebrated. But everyone just goes, BS that an electric car can be good. BS that an electric car can be engaging to drive. BS that that's a Lotus. I was like, just let's all be open-minded because we have the chance to be surprised. Some stuff is going to be poo-poo. And I get it. I get that as a Lotus fan or aficionado, the Electra makes you feel sick. I understand that. But be open to the idea that it might actually still be quite good though. It might still actually be quite enjoyable to drive, even if you don't like the idea, the concept, or what it represents. It's going to be the same.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear, and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Aim for a hydrogen combustion Ferrari or Lamborghini or a hybrid Ferrari SF90. So otherwise a hybrid Ferrari, disgusting. Brilliant car from what, you know, what everyone can tell you. So yeah. I think just bide our time. Of course, we here are super passionate, enthusiastic about synthetic fuels. We see a lot of flaws and issues with electric vehicles, but I'm driving more and more new EVs. I'm enjoying them more and more. I haven't had to go and charge one for a long time, so that's probably why I'm having such a good experience.
Why haven't you had to go and drive one?
Because I've done a lot of press drives where they're pre-charged.
Oh, okay.
I haven't actually lived with one for a while, which is something I'm keen to do, by the way.
Yeah.
I think we have to, as this community, as the cars and coffee community, as the car, you know, saddos community, just have a pinch of salt of our opinions and just be prepared to be surprised and to enjoy something different and something new. But of course, champion whichever route we think makes most sense, but not instantly poo-poo something that's different. But that's how I feel.
Yeah, and I will fight you a little bit with what you said there, because again, when I go back to this program, they had people on that were talking about the frustrations of still, even now, living and owning an electric car. They spoke about expense, they spoke about infrastructure, the charging them, long distance. That was the big thing, by the way. If they're in a town, they're absolutely fine because they can charge it from home, they're going short distance. But as soon as they went on a run, you know, one of the guys went down to Cornwall with his family, gets halfway there, pulls into one of the big charging places. There's only 8 machines that are working. There's 25 cars waiting to charge up. It's a disaster.
I'm literally going to cut you off, not because I just think that there are points that we know. And that
the
we,
whole thing we knew, mate. The,
absolutely.
The whole program.
And people are more and more aware of. I think all I would say, and I'm going to make a point that's going to back you up in 2 seconds, but...
He's already thinking about
it. Yeah, but... The solution is not going to turn up on day one. You know, I went to visit that Porsche plant, also Porsche affiliated plant in Chile at the start of the year. There's been no noise about it since. That was a test program for Porsche Center. So that's a long way away. P1, yes, are doing amazing work. But again, they haven't got a P1 filling station yet. Let's hope that's something coming soon. Electric vehicles. I think people are realizing where electric vehicles are going to make sense, which is for short journeys in cities. Yeah. At the moment, they're way too expensive and the push is in the other direction. Now, there could be lots of advancements. We've got that crazy Mercedes that does 1,000 kilometers. There's cheaper new electric vehicles on the way, that new Volvo EX, whatever it's called, which actually I saw camouflage testing on the motorway yesterday. You know, that's like a 35 grand or 40 grand electric vehicle from Volvo.
Still expensive, mate.
Still, of course, but they're coming down. You know, so what I'm saying is, I agree with, you know, we've made these points a million times before, our concerns with electric vehicles, but I'm also open to that. Then I'm not saying go away. There is something in an electric vehicle. I would have one to plug in at my home and just drive back and forth to the studio. Like, that makes sense to me, but it's too expensive for me to go and buy one right now. And
can plug it in as well still, by the way.
I'm not going to sit here. I said, like, we've gone over it so many times. We know our issues with electric vehicles, but I'm also open to people discovering solutions for it.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's never, ever, ever going to work. I don't think the whole world can switch to electric vehicles.
No chance.
Which is why synth fuels needs to be promoted, hydrogen needs to be promoted, and maybe another technology or concept that we don't even know about. Maybe it's hybrid small combustion engines with large hydrogen fuel cell batteries or electric motors with synth fuels powering the company. Like, who knows what the final solution will be, but...
Well, we better get a move on.
We just have to sort of... Yeah, but that's going to change. There's 20, 30, 20... It's all going to change.
Yeah, it will
and
change.
We know it.
Well, we said that. How many times have we said that?
Yeah, like, but I, you know, now we sound like we're sitting here going, oh, we told you this was going to happen.
We did.
But that's, it's not important. I'm just going on a bit of a rant because I'm just getting annoyed with how violent the conversations are becoming one way or the other. And I say, I know we sit here and we bash EVs. But I'm trying to force myself to be more and more open to the idea.
Impartial.
We can have our opinions, but I just don't... Come on, people. We've got to make sure the car survives. And if we all sit here and bash each other, there's going to be no cars left.
Yeah, but the car won't.
They'll all be AI. They'll all be bloody automated. What's it called? They'll drive themselves. They'll drive themselves. No one will own them. They'll have no steering wheel. You'll just get in. Like, we have to fight for what we enjoy to survive. And the only way to do that is allow innovation.
But that's not going to happen in our lifetime, what you've just said there, by the way. And actually, the person changes, as in people evolve and change with technology. So my daughter's a very good example now. She's six. She wants an electric Fiat 500 when she grows up.
Of course she does.
She's already said that.
Yeah.
Because she is now of that age where she is starting to, whether they're teaching her in the school, I don't know. Maybe they do speak about electric cars in the school. I don't know. She's already talking about, she's not talking about she wants a great big Larry V8 thing.
No, but then go to Goodwood and there are tens of thousands of under 18-year-olds, thousands of under 18-year-olds salivating at the Beast of Turin.
Yeah, but it's a generation thing. That's what I'm saying. So in 20 years' time, the 18-year-old won't think like that anymore. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. They'll think differently because there'll be a different product on the market. So, as the product evolves, the people will evolve that are buying it. Mm-hmm, as in, mm-hmm. they'll change their concept of, it's like, our ancestors used to go around on horse.
We
appreciate horse now. We don't go around on it.
Somebody did, there was a great tweet. Who knew that Twitter was still a thing?
That's called X now. You can't say that.
100 years ago, rich people had cars and poor people had horses. Mm. Now, poor people have cars and rich people have horses.
Literally, yeah.
It's weird how the world goes.
Yeah.
So we'll just finish that because this was not supposed to be our topic of discussion today, but get us onto the future of mobility and this is what happens.
We're in.
I'll just tell one last story before we move on because we're supposed to be doing a big garage update, which, 40 minutes into the episode, that hasn't happened. A friend of mine came over for Goodwood and rented, I think, a Polestar.
Right.
From Europe Car or...
Yeah, yeah. Whatever.
Some car. Picked it up. And the person behind the counter said, where are you off to? So I'm going down to Goodwood. And this was, I guess, at Heathrow or whatever. Mm-hmm. He went, oh, good luck. I went, what? I went, good luck. What do you mean? Because you're never going to make it.
Really?
This is the person renting the car.
They've got no affiliation to Polestar.
No.
But
this is an electric vehicle. So this is somebody who's flown in. They said, oh, well, he goes, yeah, yeah, you're screwed. Like, disaster. Yeah. So, well, can we change and get a combustion engine vehicle? They went, no, because combustion engine vehicles are really popular. No one rents EVs, so all we've got left is that EV. I mean, so that shows you the issue that we've got at the moment.
It's a mentality thing, yeah.
Across the board. So there's all of this up and down. As I say, our conversation just now is not going to have helped because I'm sure when we listen back to it, we've probably just completely just ranted at each other. And I'm saying, let's stop ranting, people. Let's stop getting it. And we just literally shouted about batteries and synth fuels. Anyway. Shall we move on to what we were supposed to be discussing today?
Yeah.
Which is the garage update. Because okay. I teased at the end of last week, but also you kind of mentioned a few things at the start of this episode.
Mm.
So let's get into your car lineup at the moment, because I think people are a bit confused. We've done episodes where you've ordered things, then cancelled things, and things have turned up.
Yeah.
There's obviously a difference between cars you've got in stock and private cars. So, Mr. Tony, what cars do you personally have right now?
A GT3.
Okay. Done, finished, a GT3. It's the black car, PDK gearbox.
Correct.
Lovely bit of kit.
Love it.
You plan to keep that for a while?
I'll keep it until I decide I want something else. But at the moment, I don't want it.
Or somebody offers you nice money.
No, because it's not for sale. But okay. But yeah, until something else catches. For now,
For now, that's your car.
Yeah.
Do you miss the Pista?
Yeah.
Yeah, you missed the Pista?
I do, yeah. I still look at them, yeah.
People don't forget, Tony had about six of them.
Yeah. I've had about six GT3s as well.
Yeah, you have. This is your first 992 GT3.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, so that's the car, and that's the car that you'll be using for road trips. It's
Yeah, because I love it. Yeah.
Do you use it much here in the UK? You've done a couple of track days.
That's it.
That's it, okay, fine.
I don't actually, apart from taking it to PPF. I've never driven it on the road, UK road.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What happened to the 296?
Cancelled it.
Because?
Not going to use it. Waste of money.
Fine. Have you driven one yet?
Well, only for like 15 minutes before I got this one. So not long enough. But I will. I'll get one when I need one again. I was thinking about it. It's a load of money. It's going to lose money. They are losing money. It's $3,000 a month or whatever. And I just can't. I'd rather not have. What if I'm not going to use it, just sit there looking at it. What's the point?
And from the minute you ordered it, you were panicking about it.
No, it's just that...
You were, mate.
No.
The minute you ordered it, you were flapping going, am I going to like this car?
That isn't the... I would have still loved to have took it. The other problem is with it as well, is that it was 3.5 months late. So when I originally ordered that car last year, it was supposed to be here in March. So I thought, perfect, to go away in April. I'll have it for then. It didn't come. So... all of a sudden, really, from then, when I knew it wasn't coming in March, I was half talking myself out of it then, because I'm thinking, well, what am I going to use it for? I'm not going away on another road trip this year. I might go to Nürburgring, but I wouldn't take that anyway. I'd go in the GT3. But apart from that, like if I do the odd track day again, I'd go in the GT3. I wouldn't take a 296. It's not what it's for. So what am I going to use it for? Mm. Then I'm not going to use it till next year. It's going to cost me $35,000 for it to just sit there. Then it's going to lose another $35,000, so it's going to cost me $60,000 to sit there. Well, I mean, I'd rather give it to my daughter. Well, that's true.
Fair. Good day for her.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's gone. So, and then nothing else on the horizon. So nothing else has caught your eye. There's nothing else you're thinking all.
Obviously I've got the M3 Touring, but that again we use that as like a demo. So I will use that. It is on the website. I will sell it, but I'm in no desperate need to sell that car. Okay. I really like that
You're really
car.
Enjoying
I
it.
Really like that car, yeah.
But in terms of there's no big hitter stuff, so you GT3's here for now, you're not thinking, you know what, I think next year though I'll swap it for...
Well, the only car I would swap it for at the moment is a Black Series.
AMG GT Black Series.
Yeah, but they're still too expensive.
Really? What are they?
They're still like 3.5.
Okay.
Probably around that. So I mean, they're advertised at like... 390, 385. I don't think they're really selling at that, but yeah, they're probably 3.5-ish really. Maybe a bit more if you really want one, but it's too much money for me. Like I'd rather another Pista. Do you know what I mean? And maybe I'll jump in one of them next year again.
Another Pista.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe I'll have a 296. Maybe I'll have another 296.
Yeah, I think it would be a waste to go back to a Pista.
No, not if you love it.
Of course you love it, but surely 296 and pieces similar money?
296 be a bit less, yeah.
Bit less. So you might as well give a 296 a try.
Yeah, and I might well do. I might get to early next year. And the thing is, I love the GT3 so much as a car. There really isn't, for the money, you've really got to go and spend $100,000 more to get something just as good, let alone better.
Yeah.
It's like... it's fairly stable money wise. And again, how many times we spoke about this before, about my, you know, because of what I do for a living, I really try not to lose loads and loads of money on cars. And also, it's another thing. This is the first time I've spoke about my personal cars really on the internet for ages, mate.
For a long time.
I swap them and change them, and I don't really feel like I have to justify what I'm doing. And
then
you get judged by people that you don't know and go, well, you have you flipped that and sold that, and why are you getting this and why are you doing... I'm not interested.
No, but so who cares?
Who cares? But that's what I'm saying. Like, I'd rather just not...
Just avoid it.
I'd rather just not tell people what I've got or what I'm doing.
Oh, sorry.
No, I don't mind because I've only got one car. But in general, I don't...
Well, except the... Koenigsegg, but we don't talk about that online.
Yeah, because it's a bit embarrassing because I wanted a V8 one and the V8 one was coming. No, that's the Jamera.
I don't know anything about Koenigsegg. Oh, and your Valkyrie.
That's the one I really want, the Valkyrie.
Okay, so you're GT3-ing it and then you're using the M3 Touring, which I'm very jealous of.
And I've got a new Amarok pickup truck coming.
Oh, look at that. Not a Ranger Raptor?
No,
they're so cool though. There's new V6 Ranger Raptors. I've seen a few of them. A lot of those are hitting the road now.
I go skint. They're not a commercial to start with, by the way. So they're because they've got car suspension, so they've not got a big payload.
I think you told me this.
Yeah, so they're not classed as a commercial. They're classed as a car.
Yeah, and they're like $70,000.
They're not actually. They're about six. They're not even $60,000 actually. I think they're like late 50s. And they're petrol as well. Yeah. They'll do like 4 to the gallon.
It would look cool, but that's about it, right?
Yeah, I'm not interested, yeah.
Okay, well, we got quite a lot to discuss in terms of my garage. GT3 is back. I'm taking it down to the big Bewley supercar event in a couple of weeks' time.
Be all right? You going to make it?
Oh, bloody hope so. As far as I can tell, yeah, absolutely great.
It's all working.
Seems to be.
I've been out in it.
Not really. I mean, I have. I've driven it around to make sure there's not a weird knocking noise at the back.
I've driven it round.
Seems totally fine. So yeah, that would be my first real outing. Take it down to Bewley, and then I'm now trying to plot and plan how to make up for the lost road trip that didn't happen. But I still adore it. I still love it. I'm happy to have it back. Like, yeah, GT3 going nowhere.
Yeah.
Unless the drive shaft falls off again.
Might be the other one.
I will be honest. If I had another issue in that car, I think I would immediately get rid of it. Because I do, I'm a little apprehensive. Like, I'm just a bit like when I do drive it, I'm like, oh, what was that? Oh, what? Yeah.
So does that mean you want to sell the 360 now? You've had a couple of issues in that.
Hold on a sec. Let me finish. For example, the inside of the windscreen keeps like almost like it's getting dirty or misty. Up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Does that happen in yours?
No.
See, and I'm like, what's going on there? Have I got some kind of, is there a crack? Like, what's going on? Like, is there something wrong with it? So I don't want that feeling. So I need to get out and drive it and have some good experiences. But fundamentally, as I touched upon prior to the breakdown or during the breakdown video, you know, that I've fallen in love with that car. It's going nowhere. That's a keeper, which it wasn't the necessary plan. I think I've been quite open by the fact that I thought I'd have that car for 12 or 18 months and then probably move on. In my head, I'm like, oh, I think I'm going to have it like 3 or 4 years.
As soon as you drive that car again, you'll go, oh my God, I love this.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. No, you've
not driven it for a while and you've had a problem with
exactly.
It.
So I just feel a bit bitter. But no. So that's all good. So it's back. And yeah, we've got a trip we're going to be doing in both of our GT3s end of September. I think I mentioned it last week. I think I'm going to try and take my car maybe to Ireland or somewhere. I don't know. I'm going to do something with it. So watch this space. F-Type. Let's come back to that. Let's get into the F-Type.
Really? What's that? Is that the brown one?
The brown F-Type. Right, okay, so F-Type gone.
Oh, I didn't even know that. Well, actually gone.
Gone.
Oh, right.
Now, I know what is replacing it.
So do I.
But it's not coming for a while. You don't know. You know, okay, so long story short.
I know.
I'm going to get a Project 8. Long story short, that was my realization earlier in the year when I did the sort of send off to the F-Type. F-Type production is ending, blah, blah, blah. I'm going to part ways. I need or desire a practical, essentially a four-door fast car.
That's a GT3 gone then when you get that car.
No, hold on a sec. Listen, stop. Just, can you stop trying to, let me just explain what's going on.
And well, because then, your logic doesn't make any sense.
It does. Just shh. Listen. So, Project 8, but I've got to remortgage my house at the end of the year. And so I need to wait.
Of course.
And Jaguar, who are amazing, and I'm in regular contact with, who were saying, what's your plans? What are you going to do? Because I think they were a bit gutted when I was like, I'm getting out of the F-Type. I think they were like, oh no, we quite like you being in a Jag. Said, well, we can help you out because they're heroes. So they are lending me an F-Pace SVR.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, basically as a stopgap until the Project 8.
Nice.
Like super nice, like mad exciting. It's not the best spec ever. It's like black on black, but I really shouldn't complain.
I mean, that's amazing.
No, but I really should. I mean, it's a free F-Pace SVR for actually, I think 6 months or maybe a year.
I bet it's mega. It'll be amazing.
I love that car.
No. I bet that car is going to look the bomb. That car, black with black.
I'm not a fan of that.
No, yeah, but you're not normal, mate. You've got a green GT3.
Yeah, and a brown F-Type.
And a brown F-Type.
Yeah, well, anyway, so who cares? I love the F-Pace SVR. It's amazing. As I said, that's the stopgap. I need to check what their official terms are, but they basically said, look, just use this until you get the Project 8.
Could be a bit of a sad day for you with that F-Type because that could be your last affiliation with it. Because you've had so many now, that might be
I'll definitely close the chapter,
that's it.
I will one day have another one.
Why?
Because I just will, because they're a bit like you in the Pista. I just can't stay away from those cars. They're just a part of me. I just adore them.
There you go then.
But the Project 8 will probably fill that gap.
Or fill a gap doors. In a wall, because that's where you're going.
No. So yeah, so long story short, F-Pace SVR, there it comes in August, something like that. So I'll do a whole video on the main channel of it. So because I've got that, X3's going.
Yeah.
X3's going. It's going to be going to you, actually.
I'll have it, yeah.
So Tony's going to have the X3 for sale at some point, I guess, later in the summer. And the F-Pace SVR will be the family car. And then I got the 360. So GT3, 360, and F-Pace SVR.
Right.
And then next year, the F-Pace SVR will be swapped out for a Project 8.
Then what?
And I think I want to have, this is where you're going to laugh, especially after our conversation, like an Abarth Electric or like a little, like a mini electric.
What's your wife going to drive?
That, the little electric thing. So I think, because if I've got the Project 8, I don't really want Vicky driving the Project 8. That'll be my daily. I'll have the 360 and the GT3 is the fun cars. And then I'll have the Project 8 as my daily.
Oh, that's
and then Vicky needs to have a little something, which is big enough to fit a pram and a car seat in, you know, but like that new X1, that new, or iX1. It doesn't have to be electric. I just kind of got the idea that I wouldn't mind having a little electric. So maybe the X1 M35i.
Perfect.
Thing. Something like that. That would be Vicky's car. She can pay for it.
I think you'll have another switch rack. That there's three cars there that are too similar.
No, okay, so hold on. there's actually two cars there that are too similar.
Well, I think three, mate. They're too focused.
Well, hold on a sec. Project 8 and GT3 are very similar, but that's what excites me.
Right.
Because, you know, dynamically every day I got the Jag, I got the F-Type engine, I got the Drag, but with one of the best front ends on a Jag ever. Right. So don't knock that. That's happening.
Right.
The cars that are too similar, the 360 and the GT3. Because, bear with me, both manual. And both, in my mind currently, road trip cars. Special occasion cars. Maybe the GT3 won't be. Maybe I'll start using the GT3 more. But definitely once I got the Project 8.
Well, hold on a minute. You're not going to start using the GT3 more when you got the Project 8.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Once I've got the Project 8, the GT3 will be a special occasion car. And I've already got a special occasion car, the 360.
Right, so one of them's going to go then.
Next year is my 10th anniversary on YouTube.
So you're going to sell everything?
10 years on YouTube.
Is
September 2024 marks the start of my 10th year on YouTube.
But do you know what? Because it's always really weird as well. Because everyone you ever speak to, when you talk to someone, you say, oh yeah, I've been doing YouTube 6 or 7 years. So I don't think you realise you have been doing it 10 years.
I didn't realise
until
I looked about 2 weeks ago. So I started the channel September 2014.
Yeah.
I then did it alongside work for 18 months.
Yeah,
I went full time January 2016. So that's why I get that's my 6 or 7 or 8 years. That's why, but actually the channel started September next year, 10 years ago. So it's 9 years this September.
So do you not celebrate in 2026 then?
Probably.
When you are properly 10 years?
No. I celebrate from the start of the channel. Because 2014 was the channel started. I uploaded my first video in October 2014.
Right.
The first, and it's still on there now.
Well, of course it is.
So.
What are you going to do?
Wouldn't it be the ultimate celebration that on my 10th anniversary of Seeing Through Glass.
I know what's coming.
To present my challenge to
the Oh, no. What, and sell what? That 360 thing.
To find, I said, I will only buy a Stradale when I think I've achieved something in my life. When I feel like I've got to a point, because it's so my glory car. That's my pinnacle car. I'm only going to get it when I'm like, I'm at a point in my life where I think I can justify or warrant buying something that I've strived for so long. And every single waking moment of the channel's existence has been about Challenge Stradale.
Okay.
And 10 years down the line, I got a brand new Nun on GT3 I ordered from the factory. I'm going to have a Project 8, got a kid, got a house, got a successful podcast, sells out live events around the world. You know, maybe.
Well, hold on, it ain't sold around the world yet, only here.
Only here, and Australia, currency, and America last year.
Yeah.
I've been very open about my umming and ahhing about my 360 since the end of last year. It's big celebratory 20-year anniversary. And if I'm honest, there's a little bit of business going on here because I've personally, I still love my car, but
which
I've done
car?
my 360 Modena.
Right.
But I've done so much in it and almost peaked. You know, Mille Miglia was probably peak for that car, if we think about it. But I've been on some amazing adventures. Tenerife was incredible. Morocco, unbelievable. So I've done so, so much, and it's burnt into me. But at the same time, content-wise, business-wise, it's probably done as much as I could do. There's not a lot of opportunity apart from those big adventures. A Chance Radali is a whole new narrative stream. Not that I know, really want to be signing up to another 5 years of, you know, rebuilding a 360. But long story short, I've got time to figure this out. And I've got to remortgage the house, get a Project 8, and survive baby going to nursery next year. So I've got a lot of financial outgoings next year. But if I could work it so that for my 10th year on YouTube, start of my 10th year on YouTube, I finally got a Stradale, I think that could be quite special and end up, long story short, with Chan Stradale, GT3 and Project 8 as a three-car garage.
And then what?
I think I'd then retire, quit.
What, shut the channel and shop. And then yeah, go and yeah, get
just,
a job?
Just start a cafe with a live podcast venue attached. Watch this space. I mean, that's sort of where my head's at. That's what I'm aiming towards. Whether, I say, Project 8 will definitely happen.
Mm.
Whether the Stradale happens or not, I don't know. I think so. I just think that's a nice goal to have for end of 2024.
It's a lovely goal to have.
End of 2024, Chan Stradale, GT3 and Project 8. That is what I'm aiming towards. It may change.
Oh, I 100% would say that will change.
You think?
Oh, mate.
I know what
you're like.
But for now, it's F-Pace SVR, GT3 and 360 Modena.
Right.
That's my garage.
Yeah.
That's the update.
That's it?
Well, I think so. weird episode. Talked about, well, spent about 30 minutes talking about, future mobility, which wasn't the plan. But that wraps up the first half of our year. I say we're taking a two-week break now. We'll be back with you week commencing the 14th of August, which is when we expect to announce all the details of our Australian tour. And I would assume by that point, 100% all the tickets for our UK live events will be sold out. So just a reminder, if you want to grab the final few, head over to seenthroughglass.online. Go to the events section. You can grab the final few tickets remaining. If you want to follow either of us over the next couple of weeks, see what we're getting up to. Tony's at Tony Gravelwood Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seen Through Glass. Don't forget to follow the podcast on Instagram, Behind the Glass Podcast. Behind the Glass _ podcast. And we're also on TikTok. TikTok's doing big numbers these days.
Yeah.
I guess that's it, right? Anything else you want to say to people before we see them in August?
Oh, we've got a couple of weeks off.
Happy
holidays.
Happy holidays if you're getting some time off. If you're not, sorry. Go back and listen to some other episodes. And we'll see you in a couple of weeks when we're feeling refreshed back from our holly bobs. See you then. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.